blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 290, stanzas 1-5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1-5 of Psalter 290.
Thank you. Scripture reading for this Reformation Day service can be found in the Epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Romans, and thereof chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned, after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God, and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, we try to draw nigh unto thee, and with our children in this evening hour, and when we are gathered in thy house, and all about us a world is going about under the influences of the prince of darkness, which is so evident even in the outward actions. And Lord, then it is a wonder that we and our children are not among them, and that thou makest a difference where there is no difference, that thou givest us, at least in an outward way, a knowledge that is withheld from others, and that we may, by thy common grace, be walking in a way that is more according to thy institutions. But Lord, that thou may remember then the world in which we do live. Oh, could it please thee more and more to open the eyes of the blind, of those that have no knowledge of the things that we may know, that we may be given also to know something of our obligation unto all that are about us, in all our, each one in our circumstances in our life, to open yet our mouth and to speak that others who are ignorant may be instructed, and that thou would cause thy word to go out to the length and the breadth of this whole world. For we may acknowledge thee, and that thou hast also spared us from those errors which had come into thy church so many years ago. And then, Lord, it is not that it comes from the outside, but it all comes from within our own hearts. And they are the errors that live within our hearts that need to be corrected by thee. And thou hast given unto us reformers, and thou hast given unto us men who were endowed by thy Holy Spirit, whom thou hast taught, whom thou hast given wisdom and strength and boldness and courage, that they may resist the error against all that came against them, even that they had to suffer for it, persecution and even death. O Lord, we may acknowledge thee for all that thou hast given in that time in a special way. And since that time, O Lord, then we are given so many blessings, when we may receive the instruction about all of these errors, and that we may be put upon the pathway of truth that thou dost declare in thy holy word. But Lord, then with all these blessings, thou knowest that we are born into this world with a heart that is sinful and that has no desire for thy truth. And so we are able, also capable, and it will come upon us that we will lose these blessings if thou dost not spare us and our children, if thou dost not open our eyes to see the great necessity of caring for all that thou hast provided for us, and that we might know thy truth, and that we might teach it unto the upcoming generations, or that we may be given to know it also in our hearts. Oh, give us, Lord, new hearts, both young and old. And then we will be instructed by thy Spirit in those things most necessary for us to know. Because if we will die with the knowledge and that is given unto us in our minds, and then it will testify in our consciences forever and forever against us. Oh, that thou may have mercy upon us, O Lord, and that thou may show unto us the urgency of this matter, and that we might learn to flee for our life's sake while there is still an opportunity, and that all that draws us and may not be successful, that our hearts may defy it, and by the power of thy most holy Spirit, to resist the devil and all that he brings in our life. Look upon our youth, upon our children, upon our parents, upon our teachers, our school, the board, all that labor therein for our children. O Lord, then thou givest that we may also give outward instruction, But oh, grant also that inward instruction. Oh, give that also those whom we instruct may be raised up with the truth taught by thee, to be office bearers also in thy church, to be parents, to teach their children and to be teachers in our own schools. Thou knowest the great need and the dearth, O Lord, that thou would bind it upon the hearts of our young people, the necessity of that instruction, and that they may give themselves to that work, that most important work, and that they may be a useful tool in thy most holy fingers for the conversion also and the instruction of our youth and of our children. Do look upon us as consistories, as a denomination, as a mission. Lord, wilt thou supply what is necessary to do all the labors of our hands and to protect and to uphold the truth which thou hast given unto us. But oh, that we might also taste, Lord, that thou art gracious. Oh, that we might know a little what it is to eat and to drink, as those our Reformed fathers did know it in their own hearts. Oh, then they knew for what they fought. They knew for what they gave up their ease of life. They knew for what they died. Oh, Lord, that we might know it too, and that we may be ready to stand for that truth. Oh, wilt thou supply then for us also in this evening? We remember in a special way that father that could come home from the hospital in the day of yesterday, but had to return in the day of today. Oh, Lord, thou knowest the pain. Thou knowest all that takes place in his body. Oh, we beseech thee then, that thou may heal him, who art that great and heavenly physician, and that thou may spare him for his wife, for his children, for his family, for us. But, oh, Lord, that thou may use, oh, bless these means also for him, his wife, his children, and all of us together. For we can be so very strong and young, and yet we know not what a day may bring forth. Oh, teach us then, Lord, from above, how that our life is but a vapor and handbreadth, and give us to flee for our life's sake, care for him there in that place, and give the doctors wisdom, and supply for all those that are oppressed, all those that are in need. Lord, thou knowest where that they are, and how that the devil himself is always busy. Oh, that thou may grant courage, that thou may grant strength and a looking up unto thee, who dost hear the needy when they cry and save their souls when death draws nigh. Look upon us in this evening. Grant us a little word to speak. Give a strength for our labors to work in the midst of our flock, could it be in a little while, and that thou may bless the labors of our hands, Lord. Oh, could it be that eternity may tell of the fruits, that thou mayst give them amongst young and old together. Oh, could it be also in this evening hour to awaken us from our death sleep, and to give us to know the truth within our own hearts. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 128. Psalter 128. All the stanzas. God is our refuge and our strength, a helper ever near us. We will not fear though earth be moved, for God is nigh to cheer us. And what follows in all three stanzas of Psalter 128. Beloved congregation, when Joshua brought the children of Israel over the Jordan, then he was commanded by the Lord to set aside 12 men that had to be one man out of each of the tribes. And they had to go before the ark and take out of that river a stone, each one a stone, and they had to bring that with them and set it down, lay it down in the place that they slept that night. In addition, they had also to set up stones in the midst of that river. What was that all for? We read, God says that that shall be for a memorial, that is, for a remembrance, for a remembrance. Our memory is not always so good, is it? Our memory has been affected by the fall. We cannot always remember the things that we should remember. Do you know what was even more affected by the fall than our memory? That is our desires. That is our will. Our choices. There are some things that we can remember very well. And then there are other things that the Lord has to remind us of. Is that not a shame? When we think of those things that the Lord has to remind us of, that was why that the children of Israel had to set up these stones in and out of the Jordan. And what was to remind them of what? That was of the deliverance of the Lord. Is that not a shame? That those are the things that God's people, the Lord says, you are not able to remember unless that you set up a memorial. That was a memorial that was commanded by the Lord in His Word. The memorial that we have when we set aside a day of reformation is to do something that is very similar, that is set aside by man, of course. But it is the same idea, because we forget so easy. And that is now also a deliverance, a very great deliverance that the Lord has given unto us from error. From error, you say, what error? That is the error that was in the church at the time of the Reformation. But where did that error come from? Well, that error comes from our hearts. It comes from within us. That is how it got there. Over many years, that error has been propagated. And it has endured, and it had become steadfast within that church, so steadfast that it was necessary to break away from that church in order to be delivered from it. In this evening, with the Lord's help, we wish to consider something of this with you out of the words of our text, which you can find in the portion that was read to you, Romans chapter 5, and thereof the first verse. Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So far the words of our text. And that speaks simply about justification. First, it means that therefore being justified by faith, the means of that justification. and second, its fruits. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justification, its means and its fruits, therefore being justified by faith. So boys and girls, young people, maybe you say, that sounds hard. So I think that is tonight something for mother, and that is something for father. But that is not so. No, tonight that is also for you, children, boys and girls, young people. You know that there is more than one of your fathers and mothers that have said to me that I understand best when you speak to the children. Well, that is humble, that is honest. But we don't want to make it hard for you. Thus, we will try to make it as simple tonight as we are able to make it. Therefore, being justified by faith. Thus, what does that mean? That is, it says here, to be justified. Because you say, now that sounds, children, you say, that sounds like a very hard word. That is a big word. Justified. What does that mean? But that is not so hard. The concept, what it is talking about, is something that our smallest children are able tonight to understand. Because, children, if you would, I hope you would never do that, but if you would hit, let me say, your brother, and then your mother would say, why did you do that? And then you would say, well, because of this, or because of that, because, you say, he took my toy, he took something that was mine. That is the reason why I did it. Thus, what are you trying to do? You are trying then to justify what you did. You say, yes, that's true, I did it. And normally we should not do that. You say, I know that. But now I am justified. I am right in what I did. Because there was good reason for it. Because he deserved it. And he ought to be punished. So what are you doing? You are justifying yourself or trying. You say, what I did is still right. Even though I did it, it is still right. And you give a reason for that. And yet, boys and girls, is it right? No, that is not right at all. Now, why is that not right? Because that is not your job to punish your brother or your sister. That is the task of your mother. That is the task of your father. And thus you must go to them. And thus, whatever way you want to put it, whatever you want to give as a reason, you are wrong. And you try to make it right, but you are not right. And now, boys and girls, this sin, because that is a sin, not only to hit your brother, but to try to justify what you have done and to say that something that you have done wrong is actually right, and that is according to the rules of the house, that is according to the law, that is sin. But you know that is not just in boys and girls. No, that is in more than boys and girls. That is in older people too. That is in fathers and mothers. Do you know where that began? Yeah, that began in our great, 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 great grandparents. That is how we got it. That began in our first parents. Because they did the same thing, did they not? They did something that was wrong. But they tried to say that, well, there was a good excuse for it. Because it was the woman whom thou gave to be with me. Yes, I did eat. But she is at fault, not I. Thus, he tried to justify himself. And Eve, the serpent. Serpent beguiled me. Could not help it. I am not in the wrong. I've done what was right. The fault belongs with the devil. That is what we call self-justification. Not all justification of ourself is wrong. Because if we have not done wrong, and we are accused of wrong, then we are not allowed to say, I did wrong. No, we must tell the truth. And we must say, no, I did right. And you say you justify yourself. That is right, but it is the truth. And of course, there are some times that even the laws of the land, we sometimes have to disobey. Say the laws of the land, sometimes. Because then it is not a wrong thing. If there is a sign that says no trespassing, and then you see a child that is drowning behind that sign, and you say, well, it says no trespassing. May I go there then? You say, I have to go there, right? Because there is a higher obligation, right? That is an obligation by God. And then that sign there that is not meant to say, well, in every case, no. So when you justify yourself for, you say, transgressing that sign, well, that is, then you are certainly justified. So we don't speak about this, right? But we say when that we indeed do wrong. And then to say and to try to justify ourselves as if that we have done right. That is now the thing. That is sin. But congregation, how common. How common is this sin? Especially in our minds. How that man is justifying himself. We read of Saul that he was commanded by the Lord that he had to slay all those animals, all that spoil, we would say, of the Amalekites. And he comes back, and then the prophet Samuel, he hears the bleeding of sheep. He says, how can that be? Because you were now commanded to destroy all of those animals. And now what does Saul say? Well, he says the people did it. And the people had good reason to do it too. Because the people wanted to sacrifice, because now all of these animals we can sacrifice, and we can acknowledge the Lord for that great deliverance that he has given unto us. Thus he says, I have obeyed, that is what Saul said. He says, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have not done anything wrong. And he tried to justify his disobedience, to say it was actually according to the command, because I did it for a certain reason. I have obeyed. That is, congregation, what we say. That is what we say. When we know in our heart that we have disobeyed. You ever feel, young people, our heart is like a snake? You ever feel that? Our heart slithers. It goes this way, it goes that way, to try to find a reason that we can justify the sin that we desire to commit. I have obeyed. There was a lawyer who said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "What must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And then the Lord Jesus asked him, he says, "Well, what saith the law?" And that man knew the law. He says that we have to love. We have to love God above all. That is, with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our mind and with all our strength. And we have to love our neighbor as ourself. That is what we have to do. And now the Lord Jesus says, "You are right. You have said that well. Now do that. Now do that." He says, "And thou shalt live." And then what happened? A congregation, then there is silence. Then there is silence. Because then that man is thinking, yeah, love my neighbor as myself. What do you think he felt? Guilt, right? Guilt. You felt that? You feel that? And when he felt that guilt, what does he do? Well, then he is looking for a way. That conscience is speaking. The conscience is looking for a way that it can come into the right, that it can still live as he has always lived, not in love to his neighbor. But how can we make it, the law actually fit my life? Then he is thinking, he says, "Well, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Maybe that gets me out of it." Because maybe if neighbor is defined in this way or in that way, well, then I will not be in transgression. And what does the Bible say? It says, when he asked that question, it says, he was willing to justify himself. That is what he wanted to do. And that is why he asked this question, even though he knew he was guilty. In his own heart, "I have obeyed." Say that too. You know, there were some people, some of the men of Joab's army, we read, that were slain. They went too close to the wall. And the shooter shot from off the wall. And some of Joab's men were slain. You know who was one of them, boys and girls? Uriah. Awful, right?
And Joab sends a messenger back. David hears it, and David sends that messenger back to Saul, to Joab. And he says, well, don't be discouraged because you have lost a few men of your army. No, he says, make the battle strong against that city, overtake it, because he says, the sword devoureth one as well as the other. What is going on in his mind? Oh, his conscience, right? That is speaking. The conscience is burning. And he is like the rest of us, like a snake. I have obeyed. It is all the providence of the Lord. That is now the cause of the death of Uriah. The congregation, how often do we not do this thing? That we justify our sin. I will not ask you. I will tell you. Because I know you. Because I know me. And that is that we are doing it all day long. And we are doing it every day. 100 decisions we make in a day, right? What words are going to come out of our mouth? And what we are going to do with our hands and with our feet? Oh, how many of those decisions, how many of those things are wrong? And we know it. And we know it. But there is some way that we try to make it fit. That we give ourselves some excuse to say it is, well, because of this, or it is because of that. We don't like sin, and we don't like our conscience to speak, do we? We don't like that. But we love our sin. So how do you put that together? How do you quiet that conscience? You justify yourself. You try to twist. You try to change the law of God. We try to do what our father Adam did. And he said, I am not going to obey. Simply obey. But I want to be God. And I want to say what is right. And I will say what is wrong. And then we just go on. Until when? Until the Lord says no more. No more. Until the Lord says, thus far, and no further. Until the Lord himself says, thou art the man. And that what you do, that is very plainly against my holy word. Congregation, then there is no going around anymore. No, then there must be a walking straight. Straight according to that holy law of God. Then a man becomes true. Because the Lord makes him true. Then he sees what he has been doing. When he every time tried to justify himself, then he sees the deceitfulness of his own heart, David, he says, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom." Oh, do you know how careful then a man becomes? Because then it is not me that is able to justify myself. But now a man needs to be justified in the sight of that holy and a righteous God. Our fathers had an expression, and then a man doesn't want to step over a straw. Why? Because he fears that he will sin. You know a little of that in your life? Just a little of that in your life? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. What a difference. Because before, he could do everything, and it was not sin. And now, everything he does is sin. There is nothing he does that is not sin. David said, "I have seen the end of all perfection." But he says, "Thy commandment is exceeding broad." Exceeding broad. It's going everywhere. There's no place in the whole world. There's no place in my heart. There's no place that the commandment of the Lord is not coming. That is now the fruit of the light of the Holy Spirit in the life of David. That is now what Luther experienced. You know the story, right, children? And why he had to go back again, over and over again, to his confessor. He say that he would go back for hours at a time, and that that confessor, Staupitz, became tired of him, because he would come one day and confess it all, and the next day, then there's hours and hours again. Ah, why is it? Because the Lord says, "Turn thee yet again, and thou shalt find greater abominations than these." And when the Lord stops a man from justifying himself, and that man desires to be justified in the sight of a holy and a righteous God, oh, then he is going also in that same way as Luther. Oh, congregation, it can take many years for a man to come to this place, and some, it is possible, are brought to this place in but a few days. But to this place, a man must come, because that's what it means to become a poor sinner before God. Thus, did you ever become a poor sinner before God and not able to deliver yourself from your sin, and not able to justify yourself anymore before that holy law of God? The Apostle Paul says, "Whatsoever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." And why? He says, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Was your mouth ever stopped from justifying yourself, that you became guilty before God? That is not only with a heaven high debt, but it is with a corrupt nature. A corrupt nature that is not able to deliver itself. It is an existence that you say it is incurable. How is now Luther delivered from this? He was delivered from it. You know how he was delivered from it, young people? He was reading. You read. He was not playing. You may play, children. Young people, a little too maybe, but you're growing up. You're growing up. And now as an adult, then life is not a playground. No, as an adult, and for all of us, life is a serious thing. Do you read? And what do you read? Because Luther was reading. He was studying. He was studying the Word of God. He was in the Augustinian monastery at Wittenberg. And then he was reading that Word of God when the Lord delivered his soul. When the Lord delivered his soul. He can tell of that. Where were you when the Lord delivered your soul? Where were you? Can you tell of that? Were you at home? Were you in the church? And what was now that portion of that holy word of God by which your soul was delivered? Can you tell that? Luther could tell that. We need to be able to tell that. And then he read this, that the just shall live by faith. The congregation, when he read that, then you know what that man said? He said, I felt something. You will feel something. You will feel something. He said, I felt like I was born anew. Like I was born anew. He said, I felt like the gates of heaven were opened unto me in that moment. That is now what he experienced. He saw something. The Lord revealed something. Something very, very blessed in that awful condition that he was in. In all of his need, and all of his agony, when he could not justify himself. And then the Lord opened his eyes. And then heaven itself, oh, it was a new life. A new life, he says, as it were, that was born in me. Do you think that is strange? It is not strange. It is not strange to anyone who knows what that is to come into a self-despair and to have that blessed mediator revealed to his soul. No, then it is not strange. Then they can identify with what Luther said. It was like a new birth. And that the gates of heaven were opened unto me. Let us sing a moment. 318, 1, 2, and 3. The glorious gates of righteousness. Throw open unto me, and I will enter them with praise. O Lord my God, to thee. And I will enter them with praise. O Lord my God, to thee. 1, 2, and 3. Of 318.
therefore, being justified by faith, that does not belong, congregation, to the old covenant, to the covenant of works that was made between God the Father and Adam. That covenant says, do this, and thou shalt live. Do it not, and thou shalt die. And that's all that that covenant says. Thus, that covenant does provide justification in no other way than by our obedience. And that is why a new covenant had to be made. Because there was no way that man could come out of the pit that he brought himself into, and what is now that new covenant, that is a covenant of God with his people, with his elect, that is through a surety. Now you say, what is a surety? Well, he is one who makes the covenant sure. That was necessary, right? Because the old covenant was broken. And this new covenant had to be a covenant that man could not break. And thus the Lord has given a surety for this. A surety pays the debt that a poor man is not able to pay. Thus, he ensures that the creditor will get paid even though the debtor is a poor man and he can pay nothing, but that surety is the one that will make certain that that creditor receives what is due unto him. And now when the surety is revealed, what is happening to faith? Faith is going out immediately to this surety that is in his need, that is in his impossibility. Luther experienced that. That is why he expresses the fruits of that faith. He says that was like a new birth. That was like the heavens just being opened to me. For him, that was great relief. There was hope. Hope born in his soul that he had never seen before in his whole life. We sing sometimes, his grace that is as wide as the ocean, that is expansive. If you stand before the ocean, you cannot see the other side. Over to that side, over to that side, you can see nothing. That is just like eternity, you say. And now to be as wide as the ocean, that is exactly what that soul is experiencing in the revelation of that surety. Or we would say, because some say, well, yeah, was Christ revealed to me? I don't dare say that. What does it mean, congregation? It means when Luther, his eyes were opened, then his eyes were opened to the way of grace. The way of grace over against merit. That was the thing that he could not see. Thus, it is grace that is revealed. It is that new covenant that is revealed. That is that new and living way we read in God's holy word. Our text says, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, there is so much that is to be seen in him. But here, the apostle Paul is speaking about being justified. That is, to be declared that he is right with the law. And when a man cannot justify himself anymore, what does that mean? You say then he is condemned. He is condemned. That is right. And now in God's word, then the Lord declares a surety for a condemned worthy sinner. That is now what needs to be revealed in his soul. Ah, and when he may see it, now he may observe something of that price, that what he owed and what was paid by that surety in that active obedience, in that passive obedience, no, they cannot necessarily tell you all those details yet. No, but there is something for everyone in a certain way. And then the regard that they may have to him. Ah, they begin to worship him immediately in their heart. And their soul goes out to him. Their soul flies to him. Their soul flees to him. Their soul takes refuge to him. Ah, that is not with our feet. They are so slow. But our soul that goes fast, that is a spirit that goes out immediately in that same moment. Then that is open to them when it is revealed unto them. That they feel something. Then there is relief in their soul. There is hope. There is wonderment. Wonderment in their soul, as Luther has expressed it. That is all the fruit. That is the fruit of that refuge-taking faith. Indeed, our text says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What is that peace? That is tranquility. Tranquility. Then there is, it says, peace with God. That is harmony. Harmony. Who can fathom that? That is, congregation, actually what we are missing every day, all day, as we are attempting to justify ourselves. That is what we're missing. The harmony that there was in paradise, that sin has destroyed, but we want to keep going in that sin, but our conscience feels that, ah, that harmony is not there, and then we are trying somehow to get it. But we cannot get it. Ah, then there is no peace. No peace in our conscience. And all our self-justifications is not able to bring peace in our conscience. But Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is to be right with his law, truly, not for me to say, but for him to say. Peace with God, that is to have God's law no longer against me, then I don't have to be a snake anymore. No, because God's law is now coming on my side. It is coming to defend me. It is coming to stand for me. Peace. What is that? That is to have nothing. Nothing between God and my
own soul. Not a single sin, not a single transgression, to have favor instead of wrath. Luther, I felt that the gates of heaven were opened. What was that an expression of? That is peace with God. Heaven itself opened unto him. What does Isaiah says? There is no peace unto the wicked. Luther knew what that was. And Luther knew what it was for that to change. For that to change in one moment. You say, how can it be? How can it be that in just one moment, suddenly, then he feels, he experiences what peace is with God. Paul tells us how. And Luther tells us how he received it. That is, being justified by faith. That is, when that soul may flee, may fly for refuge to that surety by faith. What is that faith? Oh, that must be a very remarkable thing. It must be a very powerful thing. That is able in one moment to give peace in my heart between God and my soul. Ah, what does that faith believe? What is the object? What is it that it takes hold of? That is, congregation, the promise of that surety of Christ, of the surety that is given by whom, children? It's given by the Father. Well, you think about that for a moment. Who is the Father? He is our judge. He is our judge. When your conscience, every day, all day, trying to justify itself, it is before this judge that your conscience is continually appearing and speaking. We feel that. Now, how would that be if you were standing before an earthly judge and you were condemned? You were condemned. What does that mean? It is punishment, whatever that is. And you now need to be punished. Now all of a sudden, there is declared that that same judge, he has provided for you surety. That he has provided for you a surety. When in the expectation, you are already sitting there in that prison, or you are already hanging upon those gallows. And then it is the judge who says that he has made a provision for such persons who deserve, like you, to be punished. Ah, when it was before an earthly judge, what would happen, congregation, in your heart? That is now what is revealed to a condemned sinner when he is no longer able to justify himself. Ah, then the Lord is speaking. Then the Lord is saying that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, to redeem them who are condemned under the law. Can you understand what happens in the heart of such a condemned sinner when he is standing in his soul before that judgment seat of God in that moment when that surety is revealed to him, when it is opened unto him? Then there is, congregation, a hope. Even before those shackles are taken off, even before they are taken off, oh, Luther is not in heaven yet, but he sees that heaven opened, and he feels something of that peace already, in that very moment, in that very instance. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What do you think? Has now that judge, is that judge now willing? What do you think, young people? Is that judge willing to receive the payment of the surety for a man who, as the Bible says, goeth on still in his trespasses? What do you think? The Bible says no. You know what the Bible says about the man who goeth on still in his trespasses? The Bible says that he is going to wound, it says, his hairy scalp, his head. And now the Bible speaks very different about a wicked man who turneth away from his trespasses, that is, with a sorrow, that is, with a godly sorrow in his heart. And they have a witness of that. Do you have a witness of that? A godly sorrow in his heart. Do you know what he witnesses for himself? The breast smiting. Oh, the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. He feels that makes him mourn, that burdens him. And now it is to these people that the Lord makes a promise. He says, if that those wicked people will turn from their trespasses, from their sin, and if they will do that which is lawful and right, he says, they shall surely live. They shall not die. He says, none of their trespasses shall be mentioned unto them. What would that be? If our trespasses would never be mentioned before the throne of God. Do you know what the Lord says? For that people, that wicked people, that will turn away from their sin, I will receive the surety work of my only begotten Son on their behalf. O congregation, did you ever have the slightest impression of what it means to have a soul and to be traveling to a never-ending eternity, even the same way that we have been born? Ah, we are hanging, are we not, over an eternal abyss? Oh, if we are so tied, if we are so bound to our sin, to our vanity, to our carnality, then the Lord says, I have prepared for you hell. If we are so bound that we do not want to leave it, but as soon as there would be a tear, a tear, as soon as there would be a tear of godly sorrow in your heart, ah, then the Lord says, I am ready to make peace with you. Because I have provided for this people who will turn. No, it is not necessary for you to make up the breach. You do not have to make up the breach. You cannot make up the breach. The Lord knows you cannot make up the breach. Do you know that too? And that is why the Lord has provided for you this surety. But time is short. Time is very short. Congregation, haste then, haste. Flee, the Bible says, for your life. Or he says, turn ye from your sin, so that iniquity will not be your ruin, and that you may experience what it is to be justified by faith, that you may have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. O Lord, grant thy blessing. We cannot bring it in our hearts, but thou can bring it in our hearts. And we are indeed self-justifiers. Oh, that thou would stop us in our mad career and turn us, Lord, and show us what thou hast provided. And for such wretched and miserable creatures as we are, wilt thou bring us safely home? Keep us on every side from sin and evil, danger and harm, and be with us also upon thy day and the Sabbath days to come, and when we hope to labor in Calgary. Lord, be here also with those who must lead, and thy servant who hopes to be here. And wilt thou grant thy blessing, an opening in thy word of truth. Forgive and take away our many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 365, all the stanzas. From the depths my prayer ascendeth
unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of 365. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.